White House spokeswoman Sarah Huckabee Sanders insisting no one in the Trump campaign colluded with Russia, including the president's son, Donald Trump Jr.
The only thing I see inappropriate about the meeting was the people that leaked the information on the meeting after it was voluntarily disclosed.
She speaks after the younger Trump does acknowledge meeting with a Russian attorney in June of 2016. He said the lawyer told him that she had damaging information about Democrat Hillary Clinton. He dismissed the information as vague and ambiguous. Sanders notes Trump Jr. has offered to talk about the meeting with Senate investigators. You can find us online anytime at usaradio.com.
I have to get to sleep.
Tom had a stressful day, and now he can't shut down at bedtime.
Need sleep.
To fall asleep fast, millions of people turn to Unisom sleep gels. They're non-habit forming and quickly help you sleep soundly so you wake recharged. Tom? Unisom sleep gels. A stressful day deserves a restful night. Use as directed. Active ingredient diphenhydramine hydrochloride.
Just learning that the U.S. Missile Defense Agency has reported a short time ago that a missile defense system did successfully shoot down a test target today over Alaska. MDA officials say the test demonstrates the capabilities of the Terminal High Altitude Area Defense System, or THAAD. A Defense Department official saying the test is not related to North Korea's recent test of what many describe as an intercontinental ballistic missile, but the system is designed to shoot down short, medium, and intermediate ballistic missiles that have a shorter range than that apparent ICBM that North Korea recently launched. Officials in Costa Rica reporting the arrest of a 22-year-old man suspected of threatening to attack an Ariana Grande concert. Investigators say the threats were written in Arabic and were aimed at the pop star's performance last Sunday. A suicide bomber did strike an Ariana Grande concert in Manchester, England in May. It killed 22 people. A battery-free cell phone prototype's been developed recently at the University of Washington, and they say it could lead to a line of really long-lasting phones. The simple phone-only prototype draws power from the air by harvesting radio frequency signals and turning them into energy. Vamsi Talia is a research associate who worked on this project.
Because these phones don't have batteries, then there is nothing that would actually limit the life of the phone, so your phone can last decades.
For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
The time is 10:04. It's time for Hunt and Chamber Radio weather. It's 81 degrees right now in Flemington, mostly cloudy skies, 50% chance of precipitation today. And it's going to be pretty volatile for the next 3 or 4 days. Mostly cloudy with isolated showers and thunderstorms this morning. Partly cloudy with isolated thunderstorms this afternoon. Some heavy rainfall and gusty winds are possible. We'll be in the upper 80s, which we're pretty much close to already. Mostly cloudy and a chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight. Mainly heavy. And in the evenings, thunderstorms may produce gusty winds. And the chance of rain is 50% and will be in the upper 70s. Tomorrow, partly sunny, humid with highs in the upper 80s. On Thursday, partly sunny, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, hot with highs in the lower 90s. For Thursday night, that Music Under the Stars concert will probably be over at 100 Central because chance of rain right now 50% and will be in the upper 60s with showers and thunderstorms. On Friday, cloudy with chance of showers and thunderstorms as well, 50% chance, and it'll only be in the upper 70s. It finally all ends, and we are on the 15th with partly sunny skies in the lower 80s. Temperatures in the area, we have 81 in Raritan. Well, somehow we lost our temperatures. There we go. 81 in Raritan, 76 in Kingwood, 76 in Frenchtown, 71 in Asbury, 72 in Washington, and 77 in Tewksbury. Stay tuned for Tech Today in just a moment.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Welcome to Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Chris Bianco. I'm the principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Blue Panther Business Partners offers practical advice, hands-on assistance to the business owner who never seems to have time to improve his or her business. We do that by accomplishing the wish list. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology so the consumers, be they seeking solutions for personal or business use, can be better informed when making purchasing decisions or hiring individuals to carry out technological decisions. Each week, I will cover information about technology. Segments could include technology news, the latest apps, buying advice for hardware and software, and answering your questions. To contact me during the show, go to Tech Today on Facebook. Email me at goodmorning@huntingchamber.com. The phone number here in the studio, 908-237-0410. And if you need to contact me outside of the studio, my website is bluepantherbiz.com. Well, I have a special guest who actually located me through Facebook, and that's Peter Jordan, and he is part of Computer Services Corp Center. I keep saying Corp, Peter. I'm sorry about that. It's going to take me a little while to get there. Peter contacted me, and we learned a little bit about we're not too far away from one another, and yet somehow, some way, I didn't know that you're in business up there in White House Station. So welcome to the show, and we're going to change all that today. So how are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much for having me, Chris.
Thank you. Thanks for reaching out. So Computer Services Center, located in White House Station, what's its overarching mission?
Well, over the past 15 years, we basically serve the needs of businesses and homeowners in our little section of, you know, Hunterdon County.
And what's your geographic footprint, so to speak?
Well, you're not going to believe this, but the furthest distance I go is all the way down to Jupiter, Florida.
Well, I do believe that, and that's because chances are it's either you vacation there or you have relatives there or you do it virtually.
I actually have customers there, okay. And I have traveled there. Yep. I do virtual support really up and down the East Coast.
Right.
But the majority of my business is in Hunterdon, you know, the basic, you know, on-site service and support.
Yeah.
It never really changes that much.
No. So let's go back a little bit. What is your background and how did it morph into Computer Services Center?
Well, let's see. Before Computer Services Center, I did 10 years of consulting for a pharmaceutical company over mm-hmm. in Union. And prior to that, I did a couple of stints as a technical writer mm-hmm. for a software development company and for a bank, believe it or not.
Okay.
And a couple other smaller firms, and a few of them were located out on the West Coast.
What was your training? How did you get into technology to begin with?
I was actually a journalism major in college. Can you believe that?
Makes perfect,
perfect
sense.
And I was up in Boston at the time, and this was back in the early 80s,
right.
when there was another recession going on.
Mm-hmm.
The tech industry up in the Boston area, the Route 128 corridor,
right.
was booming at the time. There was a big demand for folks who understood technology, and I started off as a technical writer. I was writing and documenting software applications.
Were you formally a journalist? Trained
yes,
as a journalist?
Yes, I was. I worked for United Press International, and I used to write stories that were read directly, word for word, on the air by Dan Rather.
Ah, okay. There you go. You and Dan are connected now.
Right, there you go.
So, but when was your technical acumen? When did you realize that you had that capability? I mean, you could have written about anything, right?
I could have, and I actually went back to a technical school to learn programming and application development.
Okay.
So I combined that with the journalism degree, mm-hmm. and it basically launched my career from there. I got hooked up with a company called EDS, Electronic Data Systems,
yep.
and they had me travel the country, actually wrote the manuals first, mm-hmm. traveled the country to their regional offices. At the time, it was the Chevrolet Motor Division.
Right.
And stood up and did classroom training on Lotus 1-2-3, back in the old days stuff.
There you go.
So from there, in the training business, I got into actually documenting and developing training materials. Some of those were paper-based, some were audio-based.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that point, I decided I wanted to do my own thing. I figured that there was some application out there that needed to be written by me.
Okay. And what was that?
Well, I've written a number of them. One of them, maybe we can get into later. It really identifies issues that are happening with your computer, and it takes a different approach to computer repair.
Neat. That's neat. Yes, we'll definitely get into all that. So, all right, so you somehow, some way, you got into journalism and then saw that there was an opportunity in the early 80s that technology and journalism had to coincide for getting people to know and be able to read stuff. Did you ever think back when you were doing that you would have seen the technological advances and the changes as drastic as they had over the last 30 years?
No, I'm actually amazed at the direction technology has taken. Who would have thought 20 years ago we would all have a telephone attached, to our sides?
It's not a telephone. That's
It's not. It's a computer.
That's a computer, and that's
exactly.
That's as big as some of the computers that I owned back in the early 80s.
Right. And, things like virtual reality. I just built a VR system for one of my customers.
Wow.
I got a chance to put the headset on and try it out, and it was just awesome.
So there's a lot of facets to Computer Services Center. It's not just going to be a typical, hey, you got a bad hard drive, can you fix it type thing.
Now, break-fix is really only part of what I do. I wouldn't even know what percentage to give it. I would say somewhere 25-30%.
Okay.
We do everything from break-fix. If you were moving, you wanted us to wire up your facility. If you needed a server, you want to bring your kid down and build a computer one day.
Nice.
We do all those kinds of things.
Nice. Okay. So that's the startup for what we're going to talk about for the rest of the show. We're talking to Peter Jordan. He's part of Computer Services Center right here in White House Station up the road from the Hunter Chamber of Commerce here. We're going to be right back with more of that in just a moment. You're listening to Good Morning. You're listening to Tech Today on HunterChamber.com.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Retail Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Hey, Big C here, doing a little practicing for the Hunter County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off at Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Hunter Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m. Plus, we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Hunterdon Cup. Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to Tech Today, and we are with Peter Jordan, and he is with Computer Services Center in White House Station. And Peter, before the break, we were talking about what led you into going out on your own, and I guess I didn't hear the exact aha moment that said I gotta get out of what I'm doing and become and start my own business. So what was that all about?
You know, there really was never an aha moment for me. I always had been interested in working for myself.
Right.
There came a time when I moved from the West Coast back to New Jersey, mm-hmm. and I said, you know what, this is the time to do it. This is the time to get started.
Cool.
And that's really how I got into it. My first job on my own was as a teacher, teaching people how to use computers.
And where was that?
That was with a small company called Kinley Manbeck. I don't even think they're in existence anymore. Yeah. And they got me into some larger accounts.
Wow. Okay. So there's a distinct difference, though. You were doing a lot of corporate large accounts in most of your beginning years, and now I'm getting the sense that you're doing smaller businesses?
Yes. The smaller business market, to me, provides a lot more security than the larger market.
As far as financial security.
As far as putting all your eggs in one basket, it's really, you don't want to do that.
Yes, because they fold up and decide to move and all that stuff, and the larger companies. And then all of a sudden, you've spend all your time working with them, cultivating that relationship, and then it evaporates. So you're looking for a diverse client base.
Yes. One of the biggest lessons I learned was not to put all your eggs in one basket. I had a whole number of folks working for me in a large pharmaceutical, and then 9/11 came along,
yep.
and they decided to basically change how they're doing business. And yep. they came through and wiped everybody out. So yep. I was like, this is not the best thing to do in the world.
Sure, sure. So, all right, so you're mostly small to medium-sized businesses. If you could paint a generic picture of what that type of client is, what is it? What are you looking for?
I basically go for the 20 and under crowd. In other words, you've got 20 computers or less in your business. Mm-hmm. And those are the folks who I find need a little bit of a higher degree of handholding.
Right.
Folks who don't necessarily understand computers or the best way to use them within their business.
Right.
From simple things like how to automate a document, all the way up to what's the best way to back up my data.
Yeah. Now, typically, the extremes of meeting up with those types of people, you have the person who is pretty much giving you the keys of the kingdom I say, Peter, I don't have a clue. All I want to do is just make this thing work. And then you got some that are, they're not at your level, because obviously they wouldn't be calling you, but somehow they think they know a lot. And which one's more, how do you deal with those two?
The way I deal with everybody is exactly the same. I tell them the truth.
There you go.
And a lot of them don't want to hear it. A lot of them, there are people who think that they, know enough to be dangerous, and they actually do know enough to be dangerous.
Yeah. Well, sometimes they are dangerous,
right.
Quite honestly.
There's a lot of misconceptions that float around. The common misconception that you buy a new computer and you should bring it home and leave it on for a week straight or more, that still floats around. And that's from well over, 15 years ago.
Yep.
So the way that I really try and deal with everybody is just tell them the truth, be honest, and this is how it's going to work, and this is the best way to do it, and, take it from there.
Cool. All right, so let's go through your library of services and that you work with. So somebody, you've mentioned before, that somebody could call you and they're moving or they're opening a new business, and you essentially do the wiring.
Yes, I've done a whole slew of wiring jobs, just basically running Cat 5 or what's commonly called Ethernet cable.
Right.
Through the ceilings, in the walls, outlets, jacks, terminating everything into what's traditionally called the data closet.
Yes.
And that's usually where they either have a server or, a PC that they're using as a file server.
Right.
Setting up the routers and switches and then actually installing and connecting up the workstations on a server side, setting up a domain, joining the computers up to the domain, adding all the user accounts and so forth. So, the wiring is one piece, but it really is just part
just
of
the beginning
the
of
bigger
the,
picture.
The bigger of the bigger, yes. The entire strategy of technological strategy for that organization. Things have changed a little bit. Cat 5 hasn't. It's been around for quite some time, although in my experience, believe it or not, I've was involved in acquiring some businesses for one of my employers, Cat 3. That was what they were running their phones on, Cat 3.
Yikes.
That
goes back to coax.
Yes, I know. Cat 6 is floating around. Have you dabbled in that yet?
No, I have not.
Okay. So Cat 5 is still the standard, so to speak.
That's the go-to. You can achieve the 1 gigabit speed that most people are after.
Right.
So it tends to be the go-to, and it's very inexpensive. I had one unusual application, which was to connect two buildings together, and you may have never heard of this, but there's actually a gel-filled cable that runs Cat 5, and it is weather-resistant, and it's actually designed for that kind of an application. I'd never heard of it.
I had no of that. No, we did fiber. We did fiber instead, but wow. Okay. Neat. So gel-filled, I'll have to look that one up. I don't know if it's got the features that I'm looking for, but so be it. Moving on to you said the servers and the domains and stuff like that. So do you have a certain brands that you are traditionally go to at this point, or is it on a case by case basis?
Well, for my money, Dell has the best warranty and the best service on that warranty in the business. Just as an example, if you were to buy a regular everyday tower, commercial class, comes with a 3-year warranty, and it's next business day on the parts, which they'll ship out. HP would be my number two, Lenovo probably third. There are a number of brands I stay away from.
Yes.
And sometimes it's really more
than... Well, have you seen a Gateway recently?
Actually, I just had one, and thankfully I retired it.
So that's the PCs. What about the switches and the routers and stuff like that?
Routers, I tend to stick with Cisco for the commercial-grade stuff. I mean, that's pretty obvious. Switches, the top two would be the Cisco and the Netgear. What I find interesting is that some folks in businesses – especially those who are starting off, they have a tendency to take all the stuff that they had at home and bring it into the office.
Yes. Yes, they have.
And it doesn't quite work that way.
No, it doesn't. And Well, and then we have to deal with the operating systems, right? So for the most part, when you're creating your servers, are you putting them in a Windows environment or Linux environment?
On Windows, and you wouldn't believe the number of people that actually try and take Windows Home and try and join it up to a domain.
Oh, boy.
It doesn't work.
Okay. we're going through right now. Microsoft has made it this kind of bumper cars scenario where people are still hanging on, especially I imagine some of your clients, still hanging on to XP. There's Windows Vista, then we had Windows 7, then we had Windows 8 and 8.1. And Microsoft is finally trying to get everybody to move to 10. Where are we in that scenario of transitioning business customers to Windows 10? Because even Windows 10 still has some of its hiccups, not as bad as the other releases, but it still has some of those things that you just don't expect to deal with on a day-to-day basis.
Well, first of all, since you mentioned Windows XP, mm-hmm. If you heard about the WannaCry hostageware,
yes.
which
yes.
came out recently, and the other one, the Petya or Petra or something,
yep.
Hostageware, if you listen closely to the news reports and the analysis that was done, those folks who are still holding on to Windows XP systems were the ones who were most vulnerable to that.
Right.
The folks who are on Windows 10 and Windows 7 who are regularly doing their updates, Microsoft had released a patch to those folks so that they would not get that infection. So for what I see, you know, any business that is still on a Vista or an XP system mm-hmm. ought to be getting off of it as soon as possible. And the migration path for them is, at this point, going to be to skip over 7 because 7 is due to be retired.
Yep.
And go directly to 10, do not pass go.
Yeah, 8 was a real blunder, and they just had to piece it back together.
But as far as what I see in the smaller businesses, most of them are either on 7 or on 10 at this mm-hmm. point. The issues with 10, which is very interesting at this point, because the updates that are coming out, the creator's update, and all that, it's essentially a service pack.
Right.
They're not calling it a service pack, but that's what it is.
Right.
And if you've been involved in the installation of those updates, I think they call them feature updates,
mm-hmm.
You'll notice that the whole operating system gets reinstalled.
Really?
Yes.
No, I didn't know that.
Yes. Wow. I had a situation where we were trying to install QuickBooks. And it wouldn't install because the operating system was corrupted, and I had it verified by a QuickBooks tech. And this is Windows 10. I normally, in that situation, would have run an online image repair for mm-hmm. the Windows 10 OS. But rather than doing that, since I had the creator's update in my hand, I said, you know what, let's try and do this. So I installed the creator's update, and that machine was back up and running as soon as the update was done. And it was actually a fresh installation of the
OS. So the concept of the restore, and the backup and restore point has gone away with Windows 10?
It's still available, but it may not be your first go-to option.
Oh, how about that? Okay. You heard that here, folks. Got it from the horse's mouth, Peter. Cool. That's good to know because, you know, you run it. In fact, I think I had a problem with that creator's update on a couple of computers. It failed. And
well, the biggest issue mm-hmm. with, and this started with the migration to 10, was that Microsoft came out and they said, you know, you can do this. It's very easy, very simple. And what Microsoft doesn't tell you is that, number one, you need to check the operating system to see if it has any sort of corruption or issues with it. Because if your foundation is the foundation of your house. So if the foundation is bad,
right.
forget about building the first story.
Right.
So forget about changing your operating system when the foundation is shaky.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. Number two, if you have infections on your computer, don't try and install a new operating system.
Right.
Not the
just
best
leaving it there.
Way to go.
Sure. Okay. So that's just all we did right now is we talked about the infrastructure and the PCs to be able to connect with one another. But now we can go in a number of directions. Is there other hardware work that you do, or is that the scope of your hardware?
That's basically the scope of the hardware that
okay.
I deal with.
Okay. And so then we move on to software. And you just mentioned that you were helping install QuickBooks. And you mentioned a whole bunch of other packages that you've been involved with in the past. So which ones, for the most part, do you work with?
In my business, it's a little difficult to generically give. I mean, QuickBooks, yeah, that's an easy generic example.
Right.
Microsoft Office, Google Chrome, Adobe Acrobat. I mean, those are all the basic things. But yep. Really, in my business, since I'm dealing with customers that have such a wide variety of industries,
yep.
I focus on their applications.
Okay, so they've decided that
those are line of business applications that right. come from folks that develop applications for just that industry.
Okay.
And none of those are my favorites.
Well, it's a learning experience all the time, right? It's very rare that you're going to have the same software from customer to customer.
The applications are, yes, they're different, but many of the engines are exactly the same. So, for example, what's used in a podiatrist's office or what's used at a legal firm, both run on SQL Server. Mm-hmm. So you're always dealing with the SQL Server database. It's just a matter of how sophisticated the application has been developed
right.
by the manufacturer. And in some cases, they're not sophisticated at all.
Yes.
And don't even provide for backup.
Yeah. Well, now we're talking about the fact that you're delving into when the small business owner has not really hired you yet. And they've tried to make this all work on their own prior to. Somewhere, some way in those cottage industries, some guy, some gal was developing this on their kitchen table, and it was for one person, and then it somehow flew through the rest of the industry and everybody had it. And it's never been formalized and enterprised to handle the levels of sophistication that goes on today. And then voila, you get all these crazy interactions between the operating system and the software. And those are the things you're trying to debug because they've never, that person who originally developed it never had formal programming training.
And part of the problem with going to 10
yep.
is that a lot of these folks who've developed these applications, they don't keep up.
No. No, they don't. They don't provide the patches or the updates for those new operating system changes. And so now all of a sudden, that's the reason WannaCry keeps hanging out there because these people have one application that doesn't run on 10. They have to run it on 7 or XP, and they're not going to change their business, right? To be able to find another piece of software. And they haven't gone through any type of migration path.
No, and they're still, working with .NET Library, 2.0.
Yeah. So you become a forensic scientist at some point.
All the time.
Now, so when you went back to telling me a little while ago about you tell the customer the truth. So those types of conversations, because your world is very abstract to your customer, it's a psychological endeavor to explain to them that they need to make these changes because they're just boxing themselves into a corner. How do you go about that? What techniques do you do to do that?
The best techniques that I use are to use common everyday things that they can understand.
Right.
As an example, this is a very low level thing, but if you came to me and said, I want my computer to be a little faster.
Right.
And I would immediately say to you, well, probably the best thing to do would be to upgrade the memory.
Right.
And you might say, well, what's that going to do for me?
Right.
My allegory is that how many people can you sit in your living room? Mm-hmm. 10, 15? Right. And you can have a nice party with 10 or 15 people in
right.
your living room.
Right.
How about we double the size of your living room? Now you can fit 30, 40 people in there. You can have an awesome party
right.
with 40 people in your living room.
Sure.
And that's really what doubling your memory is about. It's doubling the playground or the amount of space that you have. So using allegories like that, yep. When somebody has the computer is polluted with infections and so forth, you try and put it into car terms. We're going to clean out the oil and change the transmission fluid and do those kinds of things. And a lot of folks, they understand that.
Yeah, neat. That's great, because then it takes away, for whatever reason, as soon as you use the T word, people start rolling their eyes. But when you start bringing back everyday things, like you just said, they can participate in the conversation.
Absolutely.
That's neat. All right, so we have that. So give us an explanation of, generally, the types of businesses and the types of line of business applications that you've had to play with and get to work, so that people get an understanding of the breadth of the industries that you work with.
Wow. We'll start off with the closest one, which is the hair salon. They have a nice little scheduling application that they use.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to uninstall, reinstall, reconfigure, find out why this, that, and the other thing isn't working on it.
Yep.
So there's that. There's a podiatrist that you work for. He has several specialized applications, one for x-ray, one for patient records, those kinds of things. There's a legal firm. They have their own application that keeps track of their customer accounts and the status of the different cases that they happen to be working on.
Mm-hmm.
There's the auto repair shops.
Yep.
Okay. They have their own applications, and they actually have multiple, some that actually report into the state as well.
Oh, there you go.
You know, for doing
integration. Those are fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so that just gives you a taste of all the different things that Peter works with. Now, most of the time, I imagine you get called when the emergency happens, right? Have there been some opportunities either prior to or after you've gained some trust and loyalty of your customer that they start out with you on the planning side, where they say, I need to do this, or I need to improve my process, and you can go out and find a software for them?
Yes, that happens. You really want to have a computer guy that you are familiar with before making that emergency phone call.
Yes.
Even if it's just invite somebody in and these are my systems and, you know, I want to be able to rely on you, that kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's really more of, you know, if you're a small business owner, how you want to get yourself set up. You want to develop that relationship before anything else happens.
Yeah.
The traditional break fix, or I've got an emergency, I want to call you, you know, kind of a thing. I've developed an application that I'm trying to get people out of that mode.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a software application that resides on your computer. It basically generates a 25 to 30 page report about the health of your machine.
Okay.
It can tell you if it has infections. It can tell you the status of every single hardware component in the computer.
Nice.
And external. Okay, so for example, I can tell you if your monitor is failing, or I can tell you if your hard drive is going to fail before it actually has. And being able to forecast hardware failure is better than really any other backup system that can have.
Sure.
It looks at the performance of the machine. It evaluates different critical events that are going on the computer. You know, Windows is a great operating system, but it really doesn't tell you most of what you need to know.
No.
The event logs are really key to understanding what's happening on the computer system. And reports like your hard drive's going to fail it doesn't pop up on the screen and tell you that.
No. No, it just happens, and then that's the emergency. And up until you just described your program, the only defense against that was to have multiple standby PCs and backups to be able to restore it. And both of those things are deterrents. People don't want to have a PC hanging around that's idle. And they, for whatever reason, either forget or don't bother going through the backup process, or at least testing the backup process to make sure it worked. That's another one I love. So I'm sure you've seen that one before.
I have seen that one.
It's backed up all the time.
I had a customer who was faithfully inserting the tape into the tape drive on the server, and they, you know, would hear it whir, you know, and it was actually tensioning the tape, closed the door, and, you know, left for the day.
Yep.
And that went on for years.
Right.
And all of a sudden, one day, the server crashes, and I get the phone call, and I have to go up and give them the bad news that, you know what, your hard drive's blown on the server. So we'll have to go to the tape backup.
Right.
And we go to the tape backup, and the last backup that was done was actually 4 years ago.
Oh.
The company that developed the backup software had gone out of business and been purchased by someone else.
Right.
Software was not available. I had to beg the company that bought the other one. I had to beg them to get a copy of the software.
Right.
They thankfully sent it to me, and that was when we found out that when we went to restore the tapes. That
after all that, then you found it was 4 years
exactly.
old.
Exactly. Oh. Exactly. So they had basically lost all of their data for 4 years.
That's crippling. That's crippling.
It is. And to think that today we have the technology to tell you in advance that your hard drive's going to fail or some other component of the machine is just, to me it's unbelievable, but it's really where people should be heading because you want to head off those disasters.
Sure. But still, that doesn't solve the problem that you still need a backup somewhere.
You do. You actually need several backups somewhere.
Right. And, oh, by the way, and I talk about this a lot, but you're going to help certify it, you can't have the backups on site.
Well, you shouldn't have the backups on site. I always ask people, I said, you know, think about the hurricane that came through a few years back.
Right.
Okay? You had no internet service.
Right.
You had no telephone. How are you going to conduct business? How are you going to relaunch your business? And especially those folks who are storing data up in the cloud and running their business off these cloud applications.
Yes.
I always ask them, what are you going to do during the hurricane?
Right.
How are you going to handle that?
Right. So, it's again, you have to think about all the different scenarios. And so when somebody calls you, Peter, for the first time, what's the interaction like? Do you do some type of a survey of the situation and give people a health record of what they're currently at?
Well, generally speaking, for someone I've never dealt with before, they'll call in, and the first thing that I will suggest is for me to go on site and see what they have and what they're doing.
Right.
And from that, I can give them kind of a roadmap. Just as an example, somebody, you know, might invite me over and I'll take a look at their systems and say, you know what, you really need to get into the cycle of purchasing some new equipment and replacing this stuff. And what I most frequently recommend in situations like that is to not necessarily replace all your machines at one time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not cost effective for the smaller business. So replace one or two machines per year so that you're rolling into this, you know, 3 to 4 year cycle.
Right.
The average computer will last you between 3 and 5 years, depending on, you know, whether it's a laptop or a tower and how it's used.
Uh-huh. Okay. So how long does something like that take? Obviously, it's based on how many PCs exist in the enterprise, but
it's usually a 1 hour.
Okay. So you get a pretty good sense of what's going on based on just walking around and seeing the dates of the particular PCs and the operating systems that are running on it.
And then listening to what the customer's issues are.
Right.
You know, folks that tell me the machines are slow and, you know.
Right. Well, let me get back to, again, the folks that are trying to direct you versus best practices. And sometimes they meet up. You know, sometimes the customer has been as well-read and well-informed, and sometimes they haven't been. So there are those times when your best practices are not in jiving with what the reason they called you in the first place, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's that conversation gets a little tough to go through until they start to get the loyalty of you, and you get in you the loyalty of them. All right, so you've got the health. Does this application you wrote, that resides all the time on the PCs?
Yes, it's the application is called I on my PC.
Okay.
It's a letter I-O-N, my PC. It is residing on the individual's computer or the server or the PC, you know, file server.
Okay.
It generates, or like I said, 25, 30-page report, and it does that on a pre-scheduled basis.
Okay.
For servers, it's a daily type thing. For an individual's PC at a business, it might be a monthly type of thing.
Okay.
That report is generated. It is on the computer. It's then encrypted, and then it is emailed to a technician who actually sits down, decrypts the report, and takes a look at every single page and what the health is of your computer.
Wow.
I had a recent one where the controller was blown on a device.
Uh-huh.
And it actually ended up being the controller for the media card reader
right.
on the printer.
Oh, my. Okay.
So it goes to that level where it can find things that are wrong that you may not even know about.
Now, does it go through the network, or is it you have to put it on each device?
No, it's installed on each device.
Okay. And overhead, it runs on a...
It's 38K.
Okay, so it's not a big...
It's tiny.
Tiny, okay. And for those people, from an abstract point of view, who've been now conditioned that I shouldn't be putting anything on there that I don't know about, and they have just met you for the first time, you know, you seem to be a fairly upstanding individual. You know, you don't look too suspicious to me, but still, people get a little nervous about putting something on there that's out of their control.
They do, and if they're not comfortable with it, I don't push it.
All right, good.
You know, you don't want it on your machine, it's quite all right. And okay. It's not mandatory that you put it on the computer. But if I run into someone who's having repeated problems,
right.
Some folks who are a little more forward-looking and say, you know what, I want the best, I want everything that I can do for my computer to keep it safe.
Right.
And it is a mindset. It's a reversal of the typical, hey, it's broken, I need to get it fixed.
Mm-hmm.
What this is I call you and I tell you, guess what, you have a problem. You have like a problem, and we need to address it.
It's like the commercial with the from IBM Watson, right? The
pretty
guy
much.
Guy comes and says the elevator needs to be repaired.
Right.
So there you go. Peter comes knocking on your door and says, I got to come and fix your server. Why? Well, it emailed me.
Because your hard drive is going to blow. It's how it works, Chris.
That's cool. All right, we're talking to Peter Jordan, and we're learning all about Computer Services Center over in White House Station. And we'll be right back to hear a little bit more about what he has to offer right after this.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, Big C here, doing a little practicing for the Hunterdon County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off at Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Hunterdon Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m. Plus, we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh, yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Hunterdon Cup. Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee. Welcome back to Tech Today on HuntingChamber.com. Peter Jordan is with me. Computer Services Center is in White House Station. And although White House Station really is, shouldn't be your concern, the fact is, Peter, that in this day and age, and I worked for Chubb & Son years ago, and I was doing virtual programming and updating back then in the early 90s. How was I doing that? Well, there was a DOS program that was running that would I had to load a batch file that would be kicked off remotely, and then it would do instructions that I wanted, and then it would give me back the logs. Nowadays, I marvel at the fact that I can get on TeamViewer and have a chat with the customer and show them exactly what they need to do or what the problem is, because that's got to be just as amazing to you, that you can have those intimate conversations right then and there, get it over with, rather than trying to talk them through in your head abstractly what's going on their computer and what they're seeing.
Yeah, but you remember back in the day, we used to spend hours on tech support calls.
Yes.
Trying to, click this and move your mouse here and all that.
Right mouse, right mouse, left mouse.
Yeah, and then today it's, you know what, hold on. And within 30 seconds, I'm remoted into their system.
Yep.
They see me moving the mouse, and they're like, that's great, Peter. Can you do my work for me today? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so that's neat. So so really, White House Station is just where you happen to be. Most of the time, you're able to do the work for them remotely. So that's the great part of it.
My best remote support call, and you'll be interested in this.
Mm-hmm.
A customer lives in Reddington Township, happens to be on vacation out in the desert in Arizona.
Right.
In a pickup truck, and they're hauling their camper behind them.
Right.
They need me to do something.
Right.
I forget what it was years ago, but I actually remoted into their pickup truck. Remoted into a computer. The computer was attached to the pickup truck. And, they're out in the middle of the desert.
Right.
On the other side of the continent, three time zones away.
It's amazing. It's just amazing. So log me in, TeamViewer. What's your preference?
I prefer TeamViewer. Right. It's a little bit faster than the others. Mm-hmm. I like the file transfer capability because folks will call me up. And, the old days when people would haul their computers in has basically disappeared.
Yep.
And they just call me up and say, hey, I'm going to be out for the day. I need you to do a tune-up on my machine. And I'm like, okay, give me your TeamViewer ID, and I remote in.
There you go.
Spend a couple
hours. That's the beauty of the TeamViewer is that they've put together a technique where the customer has to give you the ID, the password.
Not necessarily.
Well, I mean, there's another one where they can make it solid, and you can get in all the time. But
actually, they have a little utility that's built in, and you can have multiple permanent passwords
right
on the TeamViewer.
But for the person that fears that password could be
compromised,
right. This is it. There's an option for them to just give you the password
at that particular moment and only that particular moment, and it generates all the time.
True.
So, but you know, when you're after you start to build a relationship with that customer, sometimes they feel pretty comfortable with the fact that you have it and you're just going to get to it when you need to. And especially, they can't do anything if they happen to be away, right? They
right.
can't give you the password then.
Right.
So it's for that unattended access. So that's great too. So in terms of people who want to get in touch with you, what would be the best way to learn more about you, to learn more about your business and your services, and to have that first conversation?
Well, I always encourage people to give me a call. The phone number is 908-534-0097. You can also find me on the internet at computerservicescenter.com. And the Ion My PC software is at ionmypc.com.
Okay. So that's all available to you and to them to help diagnose their PC. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Great to have you on, Peter. I know we're going to do this a couple more times in the future because we want to get into the nitty-gritty of your business acumen and your background and all that. But we got to talk shop today, and that's my favorite part of doing this. So looking forward to hearing more about it, and I know you're looking for some more folks to help out and fill out your portfolio of customers. And so great to have you on to showcase you.
Well, Chris, I can't thank you enough for having me come down today.
No problem. Awesome. That is Peter Jordan. Give him a call if you would like to and find out about more about taking care of your PC, your shop, and your technology. Do not fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. That's the mission of Tech Today. And hopefully Peter has imparted that onto you. We'll talk to you again next Tuesday. Stay tuned for Something's About Money right after this break.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
At approximately 22:30 hours, there's an explosion in front of the Air Force recruiting building.
That's a Bigsby, Oklahoma police sergeant, and that's about all law enforcement is saying so far about the explosion at an Air Force recruiting center in Bigsby, Oklahoma, southeast of Tulsa. The front doors of the single-story building blown out. No word on how much damage the blast did inside, and there are no reports of injuries and no reports of arrests. There's also not much information so far on the tragic military plane crash in Mississippi yesterday that killed at least 16 people.
The Marine Corps KC-130 departed from Marine Corps Air Station Cherry Point in North Carolina. It went down in a soybean field about 85 miles north of Jackson in the Mississippi Delta. Investigators say the ammunition-filled plane may have exploded in the air.
That report from correspondent Mark Mayfield. And this is USA Radio News.
Attention all men. Did you know that bladder control problems are very common? If you or a loved one is suffering from male incontinence, please listen to this important message from Men's Liberty. Because bladder control problems do not need to keep you from living an active life any longer.
Using Men's Liberty, we can go places and I don't feel a sense of anxiety.
Best of all, costs can be covered by Medicare or private insurance. Call 888-827-7549 to receive a free week's supply with your order. That's 888-827-7549. Call 888-827-7549.
Weeds love your garden.
They hide near flowers knowing you can't touch them. Now you can, with Roundup Weed and Grass Killer with SureShot 1 from the Home Depot. A special buy at just $19.97. The protective shield means pinpoint accuracy, so you can target weeds without harming surrounding plants. With Roundup in hand, weeds are in trouble. Roundup Weed and Grass Killer with SureShot 1, just $19.97, now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through August 2nd while supplies last, U.S. only.
The plot thickens as the Russian lawyer who met with Donald Trump Jr. during his father's presidential campaign last year says she did not visit Trump Tower to provide any dirt on Hillary Clinton's campaign.
Nope.